You know, there are countless people in the Bible for whom at some point in their calling and ministry they felt disillusioned, or they felt discouraged or ineffective, like they failed. This was the reality in particular for the likes of Moses, Abraham and Elijah, just to mention three. All of them came to points in their ministry there where they felt disillusioned until they met with the Lord, who confirmed for them that he had not forgotten them and that they still had a very important part to play in his plan for the world. He restored their ministry. And that's what we see going on here in our text with Peter. This is Peter's restoration to ministry. Peter might have felt that even though the Lord had forgiven him, he would never be trusted with ministry again. And this incident puts that uncertainty to rest. Here, Jesus is re-establishing Peter's ministry calling. And I want us to spend a few moments this morning looking at this incident and seeing how Jesus addresses the three most fundamental essentials of ministry: motive, assignment, and focus. So Jesus, first of all, this motive. Jesus first approaches the issue of motive with a question: Simon, son of John, do you love me? And in our text here, they have finished their breakfast. The practical, natural need for daily food has been met. Jesus has gently connected with the disciples. And now he turns his attention to one individual, Peter. Simon, son of John, do you love me? While restoring Peter to ministry, he begins with the most basic issue of all: our love for Christ. If you want to feel the impact of the question, Jesus asks, put your own name there. Louise, do you love me? Davidson, do you love me? Philip, do you love me? Jenny, do you love me? It all is fairly academic and remote until we make it personal in that way. Do you love me? Jesus asks you. And it helps to realize your motive. There are all kinds of questions Jesus might have asked Peter that day. He might have begun with, why did you deny me? What were you thinking? What do you have to say for yourself? Jesus is not implying that Peter doesn't love him in this. He's bringing Peter to the core of what makes him tick. He's bringing him to an awareness of why he can and must serve. Do you love me? Nothing is more fundamental to who Peter is than that. No question is more basic to real ministry than that question. He does not ask him if he's a great speaker. He doesn't ask him if he's a great people person. He doesn't inquire about his training or Bible knowledge. He doesn't analyze his personality to see whether he's got the people skills to do the job. All these factors may be important, but they're not the basic factors. The one basic qualification for ministry is found in that most probing question of Jesus. Do you love me? Well, do you? Nor does he ask, do you love people? Because ministry doesn't begin with a love for people. It begins with a love for God, and that love overflows to people. And if we minister only out of a humanistic love for people, we'll be people pleasers rather than God pleasers, and our motives will be wrong. But if everything begins with this holy love towards the Lord, we will love people and will serve their best interests. Not always their whims and desires, but their best interests. Our ministry is kept on course through the love for the Lord. Love is strong and powerful. It is stronger than the adversity that will inevitably be encountered as we serve. When all else fails, love will not fail. Anyone can love the Lord. Everybody in this room can qualify on this most important issue of all. But why did Jesus press the question three times? Jesus and Peter are not playing a word game here. Jesus is probing the center of Peter's heart and calling for the highest motive of sacrificial service to God. He's emphasizing the importance of the issue. He's not centering on past failures or upon past successes, but on current realities. My qualification for ministry today is about my love for the Lord and how it is in my heart right now. Do I love him? No. If I do, I will serve his interests with all my heart. What about you? Is your motive right for ministry today? What's your answer to the question God asks? Do you love me? So Peter's being reinstated to this public ministry. The motive is love for God. The assignment is to serve. And Jesus clearly states with these words, "Feed my sheep," that he wants his ministry assignment to be about serving. It reminds me of a man who went to his doctor. The doctor examined him carefully and then called the patient's wife into his office. "Your husband is suffering from a rare form of anemia. Without treatment, he'll be dead within a few weeks. The good news is it can be treated properly with nutrition. You'll need to get up early in the morning and fix your husband a hot breakfast of bacon and eggs, the works. He'll need a home-cooked lunch every day and then an old-fashioned meat, potato and vegetable dinner every day, every evening. It would be especially helpful if you could bake frequently. Cakes, pies, homemade bread. These are the things that will allow your husband to live. One more thing. His immune system is weak, so it's important that your home is kept spotless all the time. Do you have any questions?" The wife had none. "Do you want to break the news or shall I?" asked the doctor. "I will," the wife replied. She walked into the room. The husband, sensing the seriousness of her illness, asked, "It's bad, isn't it?" And she nodded in tears welling up in her eyes. "What's going to happen to me?" he asked with a sob. His wife blurted out, "You're going to die." One has to question the wife's motive. Does she really love her husband? The singer Meatloaf sang a song that I thought of when I heard of this story that says, "I'll do anything for love, but I won't do that." "Do you love me?" Jesus asks. "Then feed my sheep." That's the assignment. If I love the Lord, I'll find expression in some very practical ways. The call to serve is to serve. Love must be expressed. How will I express my love for the Lord? I'll tend to that which he loves, his sheep. He has said, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." The way I express my love to the Lord is found in the way I treat people. 1 John 4, "Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command, anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister." How does our love for God affect our attitudes towards people? We grant them the same kind of favor God granted us. We care about them because they are valuable to him. We have compassion upon them because that is Jesus' heart towards them. The natural response to loving the Lord is to feed his sheep. Here is Jesus committing the care of his people to Peter. And that is significant in this context. Perhaps Peter and others wondered if Jesus would ever trust him with anything important again after his failure. And this is Jesus laying this issue to rest once and for all. You see, there's a difference between forgiveness and trust. The one does not necessarily follow the other, but Jesus is confirming both forgiveness and trust towards Peter in this encounter. Feed my sheep. The assignment is not a call to a profession. It's a call to a lifestyle. It's a call to a personal sacrifice. It's a call to serve others. So then Jesus tells Peter what this ministry will cost him. In John 21:18, he says, "I tell you the truth, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you're old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you to where you don't want to go." And Jesus is specifically talking about the way Peter will die. He'll stretch out his hands on a cross. He had once boasted that he would lay down his life for the Lord. And shortly after that boast, if you remember, he shamefully shrunk back from the ordeal and denied the Lord. But God has a way of empowering us to do things we could never do in our own strength. He has a way of fulfilling his will in us, even if it requires a deep work of grace to get us there. Your calling may not be to lead a martyr's death, but if you follow Jesus, it will lead to a death of the self-life. The call of God means that we recognize that we are not our own. We recognize that the Holy Spirit will lead us in the direction that God has for us. We are servants of the Lord. And I wonder today if you are submitting to your plans to him for approval, Or are you asking him to show you his plans so you can obey them? Remember our theme last week? Be obedient. The assignment, feed my sheep. And then here in an amazing thing that happens next in our text, Peter is talking face to face with the resurrected Christ. He's having a defining moment in his life with the Lord. He is, no doubt, feeling the pressure and responsibility of the call. And Jesus says to him, follow me. But as Peter begins to follow, he noticed John close behind and goes off on a tangent. And in John 21, it says, when Peter saw him, he asked, Lord, what about him? And that's when Jesus corrects Peter's focus. And that's our third essential in our ministry, focus. I clearly, so clearly remember a birthday party that Rosie went to when she was only about six. And one of the games they played was, of course, musical statues. Now, there were only three of them left in the game, and she was one of them, and there was going to be two winners. So it was at a critical point in the game. And I remember thinking, she can do this. She's pretty good at musical statues. I reckon she'll nail this one. But just at the wrong time, something caught her attention. And our focus was caught by something else. And when the music stopped, she didn't. And she lost. I watched all this happen. It was like slow motion. And she lost focus on the task ahead, and she missed out. And similarly here with Peter, everything was going so well. Here is a very spiritual moment in Peter's life. This is one of those defining moments he will never forget. The resurrected Christ is right before him. And what does Peter do? He turns his head from Jesus and looks back at John. And that may sound innocent enough, but it was the first step towards a very stupid and unhelpful question. What about him? I don't get to do my own thing. Those days are gone. It looks like some personal sacrifice and suffering is ahead of me. Is John going to is he going to get a free ride, or is he going to have to pay the price too? Have you ever caught yourself looking around and wondering why so-and-so seems to have it easy? You work hard and the car breaks down, so instead of getting a new television or a computer, you've got to get a new gearbox. You'd like to be doing a certain kind of ministry, but God has you doing something else and someone else is doing what you'd like to do. It's very easy to fall into the making comparisons, especially when the going gets rough for you. Have you noticed how prone we are to comparing ourselves to someone who seems to have it easier rather than someone who has it worse? Someone very wise said to me once, you never truly know what's going on in the life of the person next to you. We are not called to compare or to judge. We are just called to obey, folks. So Jesus essentially says to Peter, mind your own business. And I'll do whatever I decide to do without reporting to you, thank you very much. There are 1,001 things that divert our attention in life. The things of life can so dominate our time and energy that we have no time for God. And that's a dangerous lifestyle to get into. Take time for God. The focus of our lives, and especially our ministries, should always be a response to this call from Jesus. Follow me. Follow me. There are all kinds of things that demand us to follow him in life, follow them in life. It may be a controlling person. It may be a personal ambition that is contrary to God's plan. It may be a neurotic need to be something important. It may be a pursuit of pleasure or money or something else. What or who are you following? What are you pursuing? Jesus said to Peter and says to you and me, follow me. That means to follow my example, follow my plan, follow my guidance. The focus of ministry must always be Jesus. So here we have it, ministry motive, do you love me? Ministry assignment, feed my sheep, serve my people. Ministry focus, follow me. Do you hear his call on your life? Do you love me? Are you ministering out of that pure motive of love towards your Savior? Is he your first love? Is he the reason why? Is that what makes it all worthwhile? Do you understand the assignment he has given you? Has the importance of that calling gripped your life to such an extent that you absolutely must fulfill it? And where's your focus today? Are your eyes on others? Or your eyes on Jesus? These are the questions that arise in our hearts when we encounter Jesus the way that Peter did in our text this morning. You know, following on from Candidate Sunday last week, let me remind you that we each have some kind of ministry calling on our lives. We are all called to be co-workers with God, not passengers, not spectators, but co-workers. We are all called to the privilege of investing our lives in his sheep, those he purchased with his own blood. And perhaps Jesus today is reminding you of his call on your life. If you've lost sight of that calling, hear Jesus say, "Feed my sheep." If something else has diverted you from his focus, him, the focus on him, hear Jesus' words, "Follow me." And so in some moments of reflection and response, we have an opportunity to be reinstated and renewed in our ministry with God. And as we do, we're going to use a beautiful chorus that just simply says, "I'll follow thee, of life the giver. I'll follow thee, suffering redeemer. I'll follow thee, deny thee never. By thy grace, I'll follow thee." And as the tune is played in a moment, let's think of those words and the promises within them and have a moment to think about our response this morning. You can respond to God's word and calling in whatever way that seems right for you today. And then we're going to sing these words. And as we do, can I suggest that perhaps a way that you might respond is just to simply stand? When we make spiritual commitments, we have to back it up in some practical way. And perhaps standing up where you are is an appropriate way of saying, "Lord, I love you. And I want to be reinstated. I want to be renewed in my ministry with you. I want to feed your sheep. I want to follow you." Peter, he denied Jesus because he was afraid. He was embarrassed about how people would respond to him, knowing Jesus. And it made me think about people around this world who are making this decision to follow God, even when they know their outcome could be very costly. In places where Christians are persecuted and they risk their lives, where it means that they are ostracized from their family and friends, where they're seen as the lowest of the low. I was reading just this week in how in China, the leaders of that country are closing churches, jailing pastors, and even rewriting scripture. Yet people still make that decision to follow Christ and deny him never. And I kind of thought that standing was a way of us standing in solidarity with them and as fellow Christians today. And so let's just listen to this chorus a couple of times. And then we're going to sing it a couple of times. And if you want to respond by just simply standing where you are, then just do. If that feels right for you, then just do. But respond. If the Lord is calling you to respond, then respond. Thank you. Just listen to the music. So will you join me in singing this chorus just a couple of times through and stand? Stand if that's your response.
Oh, Lord,
great God of heaven and earth. You call us to leave behind our preoccupations and to follow you into the future. Sometimes we find your call challenging. We are comfortable, maybe even complacent in our present. May our response this morning be a gesture of our willingness to follow you where you lead and deny you never. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.